Right, good morning from my side. It's excited to be here again. Yeah. To listen what the Lord has. I never struggle with messages, but what happens is that I normally struggle to get the right one. So I was actually this week battling between two, and I'm so glad the Lord showed me this one because everything, where is Leon? And here we are. Oh, Louis, no? Boss, hey. Louis, waar sit hy? Nou, ek en Louis vind ek vanoggend uit van sy familie wat kom hier vir Jakob se. Ek en hy is eintlik familie. Isn't that amazing? And that's why there's a spiritual connection. I mean, even the songs about the oil and the righteousness, that's what it's going to be all about. Let's just pray. Father, thank you so much again for just blessing us, for loving us, for being such a good Father. And that today, Lord, we know we will not walk out of this building the same as we came in. Lord, that you've got a word for each and every one, and that today there will be restoration, there will be transformation in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's all about, the theme is, be a spiritual superhero. You know, because if we look at what is spiritual or a hero or superhero, it's a fictional hero having extraordinary or superhuman powers, and is exceptionally skillful or successful. That's what a superhero is. If we look at all these characters, and I've looked up, the children is not here, but the most powerful one. Do you know who it is? Hey, yeah, Thor, eh? Yeah, no, not Thor. What's the other one? No, what's that big one? Hulk, yeah, he can pick up 200 tons. Cool. Okay, that's just on a lighter side. But before I want to get there, I want to just take you again on a little Bible study and just an interesting thing that the Lord showed me about trees, and that they are really a special gift. Do you know that trees are a special gift from God? Very special. It provides us oxygen when we need it in the day. And at night, that's why they remove it in hospitals. Then it releases a lot of carbon at night again. It's also there to provide food for us. It's there for wood, building houses, the pulp for paper, fuel for warmth, and the shade for our rest and recreation. And then in their great variety, I mean, they provide this natural beauty. Who can remember what was my last message about? The levels, yeah, remember the five levels. And at the end where this river was running into the Dead Sea, Revelation speaks about the besides, or Ezekiel 47, about all these trees alongside this river. But there's some of these trees, or species of trees, that's actually known for their special qualities. The mighty oak, for the durability and its strength. Then it's the whispering pine that provides that soft hush when the wind blows through it. And then the weeping willow that displays its cascading branches that gracefully sway in the breeze and often overhanging a quiet pond. I mean, so many people, when you go and rest, you just look for this willow tree. And I think it's the willow tree in Psalm 1 as well that it's written about. But you see, the secret lies in another tree that I want to speak to her about this morning. That provides that supernatural, that superhuman powers, that so that we can become that spiritual superheroes, if I can put it that way. And that is the olive tree. Now, have you seen the size of an olive tree that big? You see, they are beautiful to look at. You can put up the other one. Especially with their unique gnarled and twisted trunks. Look at that. When it gets you, the older it gets, you can't establish the age of an olive tree because you can't count the rings. Because what happens, the older it gets, the hollower the inside becomes and the bigger and wider it becomes. And just looking at them gives us that sense of calmness and peace and almost healing. Comes upon us when you look at the olive tree. Now, my scripture reading this morning is Psalm 52, And the two scriptures there is 6 and 8. Six to eight. I say the righteous, maybe I must just read it from verse 1. He says, why do you make evil the foundation of your boasting, mighty one? God's gracious love never ceases. Your tongue is like a sharp razor, devises wicked things and crafts treachery. Your love, evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking uprightly, interlude. Your love, all words that destroy, your deceitful tongue. But God will never tear you down forever. He will take you away, even snatching you out of your tent. He will uproot you from your land of living, interlude. He says, the righteous will fear when they see this, but they will laugh at them, saying, look, here is a young man who refused to make God his strength. Instead, he trusted in his great wealth and made wickedness his strength. And now comes verse 8. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of the Lord. I trust in his gracious love, God forever and ever. Up to there. The next, I'm just going to quote it. It's Psalm 128 verse 3 that says, it speaks about there, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Now there's a comparison with the children in an olive tree. Because the olive tree, you will always, surrounding an olive tree, you will find 9 to 10 little branches or sprouts coming out, always. And this is the comparison with it. And then it says there that, shoots growing up of the root system around the tree. Olive trees, their fruit, their oil, and their fruit have long played important in the daily lives of the ancient. But even today, I mean, how many people have switched over from normal oil to olive oil and people still use it for wounds? Olive trees, for I think it's 6,000 years that they've been there for. They've been eaten by the Mediterranean people, food, used for cooking. That's the oil they use for the lamps. You can read that in Exodus 27:20. And then for medicine and for anointing. In religious ceremonies. Exodus 30 verse 24 to 25. Olive oil was so plentiful in Israel in the time of King Solomon that at one stage he sent it, 100,000 gallons, which is 378,000 liters of olive oil to the king of Tyre. And that you can read in 1 Kings 5:11. There's another picture you can put on. Just to get to it, I've just looked at the roots of this tree. And it comes from, derived from the word Esh Shemen, which means the tree of oil. The primitive roots also shows back to shine, to riches, to anointing, to fat, to fruitful, and then most important, the tree of righteousness. But it's so amazing, there's many research done on it, so you can do your own research, but there's, for instance, they gave it in fruit, and I've just changed it. They grows up to 12.1 meter high, and the trunk, 6.1 meter. So that's quite a tree. That's about the tree of that one that we can see there. I think that's one of the oldest one. That's 3,000 years old. And still bearing fruit. Isn't that amazing? Evergreen. Also stands for righteousness. The wood is very hard. And I mean, they reckon the best furniture you can make is out of that wood. That's still just the introduction. 1 Kings 6:23. Oh, another interesting thing, it was the most valuable tree. And it's a tree of knowledge. And it's called the king of all trees. Where was it mentioned the first time? In Genesis 8, verse 11, with Noah. When he sent out the dove, and the dove came back with the olive branch. Some amazing facts on the tree. No matter what the conditions, hot, dry, cold, windy, been planted in rocky places, this evergreen tree will always provide food. Always will have fruit, always. And it's said that it can never die. You can cut it down, it will grow again. You can burn it down, it will grow again. It happened before when there was this furious fires in Israel, and they and all the plantation of olive trees was just burned to the ground, and they're all grown again. So you can't kill it. The scripture passage reminds us then, no matter what your conditions of life is, there's everlasting life. And that's what God actually wants us to become this morning. And we're going to take a little journey this morning on to become, not like an olive tree, or be like it. Yes, you can be like it, but you want to be one. Because then we're like the enemy. He's not the roaring lion, the lion that Liz got on his t-shirt this morning. He's not a lion. He says, as a lion, soos 'n leeu. So he's always copy-pasting everything. But we want to be that trees. It has remarkably deep roots, and it taps to the source of water. So what happens is, this tree will, after it takes up to 15 years for this tree to bear fruit before the first fruit is there. So the farmer must wait 15 years for that fruit to come. The reason why, in the first 2-3 years, it grows very quickly. And that's also the time that it's seeking the roots towards the source of water. The same as the palm. The date palm does the same thing. Sometimes take 3 years before the first sprout of the date palm comes through, because it goes and seeks for the rivers, the deep, deep, deep source of water. But yet, this leaves still allow this tree to receive a lot of moist that's in the air, even if it doesn't have a river, a lot of moist. So I want you just to, as we go through, just to remember all this thing, or to remind it, just make a knot in your brain there. There's two factors helping create a tree which can produce fruit in the hot summer season and give abundantly at harvest time in autumn when all else is seemingly barren. Olive trees are hardy in this. Good quality olive trees offers many health benefits. This is the other thing. I didn't know all this. Essential vitamins, nutrients, antioxidants. It's also gentle on digestive systems and prevents gallstones and soothes ulcers. It also delays or eliminates the onset of diabetes and promote weight loss. If olive oil isn't yet regularly part of your diet, it's about time that we change. And really, I've never known all this thing. The olive tree speaks of royalty and rulership. It also symbolizing righteousness. Man with heartiness, strength, a man who is blameless, just, and innocent. Who's one of that man? Noah, David, Samuel. And the Hebrew term for righteousness comes from the word tzaddik. Tzaddik. And this is where it all starts. At meaning spiritual righteousness and performing miracles, being that spiritual superhero. That's exactly what it means. Being a spiritual superhero for God on earth. You see, and to become that, you need to tap into the right source. And we're going to get to that now when it's crafted in. It means to give back what you have stolen. Judges in the court use it. They say, Tidek. In the judges of that time said, Tidek. And that was part of the verdict to say that you need to give back what you have stolen. But, however, as superheroes for God, there's a few things that we still, but that we never have to lay down. We need to keep our humbleness. But still we will feel pain, the suffering. We will still cry. And we will still experience bitterness. Because maybe so many of you sit here this morning. I just sense this morning. There is people here that feels lost. So rejected by everyone. They've got no place to go. And that can be even not only people that literally don't have a place to go. But sometimes we can sit. I was like that. I could sit in the midst of thousands of people and feel alone. Have you felt that before? I don't want to speak. I actually don't want to see people. There's no a reason for it, but there's suddenly this something that comes in my relationship with my children or between me and my wife, and we can't actually find. It's just the something. And I just sit with this anger. I sit with this bitterness. I sit with this low self-esteem. I sit here this morning with shame and guilt. You're still going to feel that. Because in Romans 11, I'm not going to read the whole chapter there from verse 16 to 24. All that Paul does here, he compares Israel with an olive tree and us, the Gentiles, with a wild olive. And then the wild olive was crafted into the olive tree. Now, what's the wild olive? Now, sometimes the wild olive didn't want to give any fruit. Then it was taken its branch. It was crafted into an olive tree and it started bearing fruit. But the others, then there was another way they did it as well. If the branches were dry and didn't give fruit, they were broken off. And they were crafted. And then other living olive tree branches was then placed into the tree or crafted into to bear fruit. And that's what God did. Because the treasure did not want to bear fruit. So God takes us and he crafts us into the olive tree. By whom? Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ. He was the first branch that was beaten, that was broken, that was crucified. And the reason for that is to remove the bitterness. You'll see later on how they remove the bitterness from this fruit. Because God himself sometimes break off the branches. So sometimes we can find ourselves in a place of a desert. And we say, but I don't feel alive because I have been removed from the branch. And the sad thing, it's a choice. It's a choice to find you in the place where you are this morning. Because that is not God's will and his purpose on your life this morning. His purpose and his craving for your love this morning. He's craving for the fact that you just come back to the olive tree to be crafted in this morning. Let's look at the life of Ruth. Man. She was marked with obedience. There in 3 verse 5, you can see that in Ruth. With kindness in the 10th verse. With holiness in the 10th. Discretion in verse 14. True love, faithfulness, righteousness. And she was committed. A spiritual superwoman for God. She had no education. Of course, women in those days didn't have any education. They were just carrying the seed to fulfill the promise of Abraham. So they had no place like today. But she became one of the greatest women in the Bible. Why? Because she made herself available to be crafted into the olive tree. You see, in this morning as well, as we go through, you need to make yourself available. God is not a God that kicks down doors. When I was in the police and we kicked down doors with a warrant of arrest, he doesn't come with a warrant of arrest kicking down doors. He's standing silently and humble and knock. And he awaits you to open up. You need to open up this morning. It is time that we put aside, and this is a tacit, Lord, must I use this? He said, you use it. Our arrogance. And in humility, understand what it means to be that wild olive branch graciously crafted in by God into the olive tree. Because sometimes pride brings arrogance. We were speaking about it, me and my friend this morning, Francois, as we came and said, I'm still seeking. I want that first love that I had for God the day that I gave my life to Jesus. I remember it. I mean, I spent it. I couldn't leave the Bible. I had to sit with the Bible all day. Whenever I found myself, I was praying. And suddenly, I don't know if it's pride or arrogance later, but I just move away and once a day is enough to have my quiet time. And I seek for that as well. So I'm also here this morning. Say, Lord, I want to be crafted in again. I've got fruit, but I want to bear better fruit and more fruit. And why? So that we can receive those everlasting covenants that God has given to all the forefathers in the Bible. We can't separate the Old Testament from the New. We've spoken about that. We need everything in the Bible is written there for us. Everything has a meaning. You don't just find things per accident. Covenants, promises, hopes that we have been made near in Ephesians 2 verse 11 to 13. It speaks about that. So the least that we will broken off because of our boasting, because of our arrogance, and I want to put other things with, because sometimes pride and arrogance is also when we walk around with this grief in our hearts, this unforgiveness in my heart. Unforgiveness is arrogance. Unforgiveness, shame, guilt can be arrogance and pride in my heart. Because this morning God is going to give you a chance to bring those things to Him. So that we can be crafted into the olive tree, joining men and women of righteousness and be that spiritual superheroes for God. Tzaddik, we spoke about. The Greek word, just for interesting, it's dikaiosune. During harvest time, this is interesting. What do they do? Deuteronomy 24:20 speaks about it. They shaken the tree or they hit it with big poles. So there was pain involved in harvesting the fruit. It didn't fall off the tree. They had to beat it out of the tree. Deuteronomy 24:20. Then to make the food or to make the fruit, which is at the end the oil, it had to be bruised. And pressed. What they use is two big stones, or they use rough pieces of wood that they will just, and they will bruise this fruit to get the oil out. So can you see maybe this morning? We're complaining, we're crying, we're before at the feet of God. Why? This is maybe the answer this morning. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. And harvest time is painful. But the end is so amazing. Sometimes fruit, we crust, the feet symbolize it. It also symbolizes a blessing when your feet is dipped in the oil. In Deuteronomy 33:24, that's where Moses gave blessings to all his sons there. And one of the last blessings, he blessed Asher as the most blessed of his sons and letting him dipping his feet into the oil. But it can also be a curse for disobedience. We read that in Micah 6 verse 15. He says there, you'll plant, but you won't reap. You'll crush the olive harvest, but you'll have no oil to anoint yourself. He said, that's a part. I never want to get in that situation. When I've got this fruit and I need to give to people, and my fruit is dry, and there's nothing to give. What does this mean this morning? That we need to be shaken more this morning. That God wants to beat us this more. Beat in a spiritual way where this fruit can come down this morning. Because I'm telling you, if that fruit is not harvested, that fruit will go rotten on the tree and then it will fall down. And how many of our trees are standing there, beautiful to look at, but there's no fruit. The fruit lays rotten at the bottom of the tree. Nothing for the world to enjoy. The other reason for crushing and taking the oil out was the moment they crushed it and hurt the fruit, it immediately removes the bitterness. Did you know that? I didn't know. That was so interesting. It removes the bitter taste of the olive. Therefore, we must be crushed and transformed into fruit so that we can start producing oil. Because the fruit itself is important, but it can't be a blessing. The blessing comes with the oil. So this reminds us this morning, doesn't matter your conditions this morning, your financial state, because I also sense there's people really this morning that is in such financial trouble and despair this morning, and they don't know how they're going to get out of this. God says, come, let me craft you into the olive tree. You will bear the fruit. Because this is what the enemy does. He comes to this. He also have his own sticks to come and beat. But out of season. You see, the other thing is you can't beat or shake this tree out of season. When the fruit is not ripened, that's what he do. He brings beating and shaking. And later on, we can't stand it anymore. And we just let the fruit go. And he steals our fruit. And it's out of season. You see, and it also reminds us of the presence of God. The evergreen, because it's an evergreen tree. So it's always alive. It bears fruit throughout the year. So it's not too seasonal. The oil also represents what? The Holy Spirit. We read about that in the scriptures. Where kings was anointed with oil, also brought healing. It was also spiritual medicine and medicine, but also spiritual medicine for people to lay on hands and anoint them. In Mark 6:13, anoint the sick. Matthew 25:13, the oil brought light to that virgins. And remember the five that didn't have oil? The Holy Spirit is dwelling within us and shedding God's light. You see, we are that mirror. that we're representing the light of God. And we need to understand that. But if we are standing this morning in the desert, because we all are in the desert, remember now, because that's where olive trees grow, is in the dry, rocky places. You don't find them next to the streams of water. Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16, he says, we are the light to shine before men. So the custom for the New Testament of light bearers, there was people they called light bearers. So what was a light bearer? A light bearer always had to have oil with him if he has to provide light. So they carried on one of the fingers a little, I don't know what they called it, a little container containing oil. Acts 13:47. For that is what the Lord ordered us to do. I have made you a light to the Gentiles to be the means of salvation to the very ends of the earth. 1 Corinthians 3:16. We carry the Spirit within us and we are the temple and we are also the tabernacle for God in the New Testament. So we have the oil with us. So God promises today that out of our bruises, fear and pain, suffering, a fruit of righteousness will, not maybe, will be born. So are you ready for that? I'm ready for it. So that we can stand right, because that's what righteousness means. We need to stand right before God. Right before God. I've said it yesterday morning. I end off my group of men at a church that I'm where the world needs a father. And I just told them, because I could see there was a few new guys there. And you could see the world was and circumstances are rough on them. And the first thing God says, listen, you can't judge them. You can't judge them. Tell them about my righteousness. Stand right before me. And that's what God says this morning. He doesn't want you to do what some churches teach us. First bring all your sins and the wrongdoings to the cross. And then serve the Lord. That is not the grace of my Jesus. Because then there's many people that's lost. And that we're not going to... God says, as you are, your circumstances, your pain, your suffering, whatever you have, no money, you've got nothing to eat, you still battle with some form of an addiction in your life. God's not, He's not interested in that addiction at this moment. He's interested in your heart. He's interested in your loot this morning. He wants to graft you into His olive tree this morning. And then those things will go away by itself. So don't try and lose and stop and throw away the sins that you are doing in your life, because you'll never do it. You'll never go to Christ. I've tried it. For 1 year, I've given my life to Jesus. For 1 year, I battled with tobacco. I could not stop. I cried before the Lord every day. I said, I can't stop this. I can't, but Lord, I love you. And I hear Him clearly saying to me and giving me scripture, I love you, my son. It's fine. I don't judge you. I don't have a little black book in heaven with rights and wrongs of what you're doing. I love you as you are. And if you can realize this morning that the Lord loves you just as you are. He's not interested in your background and what you've done wrong. Because you are an olive tree to be. And many of us, we are olive trees already. So do you want to be crafted into the tree of life today? 1 John 4:13. So we abide in Him and He abides in us. That means we are one. So He's given us, and it says there in 4:13, and because He has given us His Spirit. Not part of it, He's given us His Spirit. The same Spirit that leaded Jesus into the desert. The same Spirit that was with Jesus when He walked on water. The same Spirit when He healed the lame. The same Spirit when He commanded the spirit of Lazarus to arise from the dead. That same Spirit lives in me and you. You see, as the dove brought back the first seed of life, the olive branch, to the ark, so did Mary. She carried that first seed of the olive branch, Jesus Christ. A seed without sin or bitterness was made sin and bitterness. So we could be transformed into the new. You can read that in 2 Corinthians 5:21. A seed of righteousness, beaten, crushed, and bruised, so that we can be transformed into the new. It says that for everybody that's in Christ have now become a new creature. All the old things have passed. Everything has become new. So God wants to make you new. Is that for only for the sinners? Or is that for newborn Christians as well? This is for Christians that's given their life to Jesus as well. We need to be transformed and made new on a daily, every day of our life. Otherwise, you're just going to be an overgrown olive tree with no fruit, or an overgrown with rotten fruit at the bottom of the tree. You see, in this spiritual process and suffering, we need endurance, as our endurance will come as a result of what? Suffering. I know we don't want to hear that. Lord, ik het genoeg gesuffer. Lord, and this will take me to perfection, but I don't want that. Isn't there an easier way? Isn't there a shortcut, Lord? No. My son had to walk the Villa de Rosa, that last 800 meters to Calvary. So this is going to be a painful process. Suffering, we will need suffering so that we can have endurance. James 1:4, but you must let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. You can read 1:4. So that you can lack nothing. Why do we lack? Because we don't go through the suffering. Because the thing is, sometimes the enemy will bring trials and tribulations and suffering in our journey. And what will happen is we'll come there, but he will also be there. He will be this little white bunny at the bunny garage, calling in all the children, you know, with it. You remember? I don't know if they still do it. What garage was it? The Celtics or Celtics with the white rabbit. He's the white rabbit distracting you and say, listen, why do you want to go through this suffering? Come on, man. Yes, some people you can loan money from. The bank's going to give you money. Come here, there's this friend of you. You don't want to speak to him. He's in the world, but he will assist you. Don't worry. And we take these off ramps and we move out of our purpose. You see, the manifestation of righteousness will be worth for his kingdom, for God's kingdom. We sang about it this morning through our suffering. And we will remove all the bitterness. He will remove the bitterness in our life. But the bitterness, remember, can only come after the beating, after the shaking, after the fruit is on the ground. Only then, when that fruit is crushed, the bitterness. So now it's the next part. Now we must wait to be crushed. But it's not a bad thing. It's a spiritual crushed. It's like when you go and run and when you train. I mean, while you do it, you think, why am I so stupid doing this? But then 2 hours after, you think, wow, I feel so much better now. And this is what's going to happen with the crushing. God says, consider it pure joy when you are involved in various trials, again, as it produces endurance. Our trials and sufferings is a secret key into the kingdom of God. You need that suffering. We need to go through it. And I mean, many people are going to, there's prosperity preachers that will bring other, but I'm taking it from what the Word of God is saying this morning. Because if it was so prosperity, why did Jesus then have to go through the cross? God didn't save him from that because he had to go through so that transformation and that his grace could be upon us today. So this morning he wants to root us into this tree of righteousness. Then Galatians 5:22, you'll read. That's why he wants to craft us in Jesus Christ this morning so that we can start bear the fruit of the Spirit according to Galatians 5:22. Remember this morning, by doing this, we receive the breath of God in our lives. That's when God comes and he breathes over us and we receive this breath and this life. And we look beyond our suffering and our circumstances, because the enemy is always going to refer and let you focus on your suffering, on your circumstances. And when you look at your circumstances, you're going to say it's impossible. Remember the levels. When Ezekiel stand there, he didn't want to jump, he didn't want to swim through the river because it was impossible to cross, because it was not a river to be crossed. It was a river to jump in and take it on. And this is what God says this morning. We can't apart ourselves from our suffering and our pain this morning. We need to take it on, because that's the enemy. And he's going to give us the power. And we just go forward. We just have to follow him in this journey. And just remember the cubits, 1,000 cubits by 1,000 cubits. Follow him and he will make us victorious. Because he's fighting the battle. We don't have to fight it. God's promises is in Isaiah 14 verse 4. He said, I will correct your apostasy. Now apostasy is a religion. He said, I will correct your religion, loving you freely. So he's going to make us free from religion. Because this is one of the reasons why olive trees are just something nice to look at. That's entertainment for the world. I will love you freely. He said, and this is the beautiful part of it. Hosea 14:4, he said, and my anger have turned away from you. You see, the moment that bitterness, after the crushing, when that bitterness was removed, the sin was removed, God's anger will turn away from us. Hosea 14:6 says, your branches will spread out, and its beauty will be like an olive tree, with its scent like that of Lebanon. Want to agree with me this morning? I've written something that God says this morning, what God has told me to I speak to myself as well, that I would like you to become more like the olive tree this morning, but to become one. Remembering the good things and my faithfulness that is strengthening you. He said, I want you to stretch your branches out wide, according to where it's there in Isaiah 54:10, 54:2, where it says, I'm going to spread out your tent pens. He wants to spread out your branches this morning, God says. So out wide. He wants us to release and let go of all this rough details of each trial in our life. He wants us this morning to leave like the woman at the well in Samaria. The Samaritan woman, when she left her cistern there, her thing that she carried, the cistern, she left there and ran to tell the people about this man. What did she leave there? She left her bitterness, her anger, her unforgiveness, because the life had treated her bad. She had 5 husbands. And the one she was staying with now is not even a husband as well. Which means in those days, you couldn't divorce your husband. They left you. So she was rejected on rejected on rejected. And she left all that rejection and pain and what life has done to her at the well and ran. Because she didn't need that water anymore. It was bitter. And the same with the fruit. We bring fruit. We come with olive branches full. We walk into places and we give people fruit from the tree. But they bitter. Because the tree hasn't been beaten. It didn't go through suffering. It didn't go through the crushing. And the sin has not been removed, the bitterness. So God says this morning, I want to stretch your branches. I want you to make space in the center of your life for me. To welcome my spirit. My spirit of reviving, refreshing, and renewing this morning. Don't you want that? I want it. I want you to be the olive tree, having the seed of righteousness, the tzaddik this morning, so that you can join the list of spiritual superheroes in the Bible. And God says this morning to us, I know, my son, my daughter, the world is often a difficult and a challenging place. But let your roots reach down into the deep, so we can have a deeper and more intimate relationship. Maybe you have a relationship with God this morning, but platonical. You have a relationship through the pastor, through the church. I don't know. Because you can have such a relationship, and you can still go to heaven, but it's not a deep, intimate relationship with Father God. Remember, we've done the personal altars and the church altar, that personal altar in my life. He says, so that you can receive life-sustaining encouragement and nourishment. So many of us in this room today just need nourishment. Maybe we didn't have a mother that gave us that nourishment, that intimacy. Maybe a father that never confirmed anything in our lives. And we feel rejected this morning. Maybe we don't know our father. God says this morning, receive this life-sustaining encouragement and nourishment. And it's all in the oil. So just as the olive tree gratefully receives that early morning dew, God says, I will provide the dew of the gifts of my glory and grace, giving you strength so you can provide to those that are lost, abandoned, crippled, sick in the world. You see, that's our first calling. Our first calling is to be out there. And this is exactly what you stand for. Bringing the unchanged into the family of God to advance His kingdom. So to bring them in to be olive trees. He says, keep your roots deep in me. Build your lives on me and become stronger in your faith as you were taught. And you can read that in Colossians 2, verse 6 to 7. Can we stand and pray? I just agree in your heart this morning. Come this morning and maybe while we're busy, I don't know if somebody wants to start playing softly in the background, so thanks. So Father, we just bring ourselves this morning, maybe as dry, broken off branches, maybe as olive trees this morning that's bearing no fruit. But Father, we want to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. In a broken, wounded, and bleeding world, which is a difficult and trying task daily. Father, we need to develop eyes and ears that help us to perceive your presence, even when so much around us seems to deny and ignore it. Father, we need your power and your glory, as it is so easy to give in and voice despair, to court surrender, to turn bitter and to slump into defeat. Father, we want to be more like the olive tree this morning. We want to become olive trees, only remembering the good things of your faithfulness that strengthen us. We want to stretch our branches out wide and let rough details of each passing trial just slow off, Father. We want to make space in the center of our life this morning to welcome your Holy Spirit, to have the right and the center in our lives, to be revived this morning, so we can be refreshed this morning, so we can be transformed and renewed this morning. Father, I want to pray, maybe there's somebody in this room this morning that haven't given their lives to Jesus yet. And Father, I want to pray with them this morning that we come and we kneel at the cross and say, Jesus, I need you in my life. No more pain and suffering that the world is putting on me. Lord, I will suffer for your cause, for your purpose, but no more for the enemy and the world. So Father, I come this morning and I give my life to you, Jesus. I acknowledge this morning, Jesus, that you have died on the cross on Calvary. You shed your blood for me. You were bruised. You were beaten for me. The bitterness and sin in my life, I want you to remove now by the power of your blood this morning. And I'm giving my life to you, Jesus. I say, Jesus, I give it all to you this morning. Change my life. Transform me. Renew me. Renew my mind this morning. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God, that your love keeps no record of any wrongs, as written in 1 Corinthians 13:5. Father, we humble ourselves as we focus on Jesus being bore for our sins on in his body on the cross, so that we might die in our own sins this morning, Lord, and live to be righteous. And to be righteous and to be healed by his wounds this morning. 1 Peter 2:24. Father, today we want to be crafted in you, to be an olive tree, to grow into an olive tree that will bear many fruit, bringing change, shifting atmospheres, bringing destruction in the enemy's camp, taking back territory stolen and multiplying the seed of the olive tree this morning, Father. Father God, thank you for loving us first. Thank you, Father, that we can be overcomers. Father, overcomers this morning, overcomers got two O's for the eyes to see. But it's to overcome. To overcome means we need to go through the shaking and the beating. We need to go through the crushing to become overcomers. The Lord says today, I want to crown you, my bride, with a victor's crown. The Lord says, I see my bride standing in the middle of the valley of dry bones, surrounded by death, and all hope has perished. He says this morning, lift your eyes around and see. They all gathered and came to you. As I live, says the Lord, in Isaiah 49:18, you shall surely wear them as an ornament and bind them on as a bride. So Lord, we come this morning because we receive this victor's crown. We receive you to place us and craft us into the olive tree this morning, Lord. We know that I can put everything under your power and authority this morning, Lord. Abide, says the Lord, abide and arise today. Let's call it as the olive branch warriors. Lord, we come this morning. We are olive trees, but we are warriors this morning. We arise this morning. And Lord, as the Lord says, I give you the reward of victory this morning over the enemy. He says, as my bride, sound the trumpets, beat the drums, make a new sound on me this morning. Shift the atmospheres. be olive trees that bears many fruit. And the Lord says, you bring honor to me as you're lifting the victor's crown this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.